This is the Jean-Claude Van Damme Action Hero Retrospective, and with me for this one is a long-term friend of mine and sometimes contributor to the Filmwork website,
briefly,
Mr. Shane Meeking. Say
hello. Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. Or are you
good?
Talking to the audience?
I'm whoever's listening.
All right, cool. Yeah, hi out there. Yeah, we're going to talk about Jean-Claude Van Damme. He is going to be playing the main villain in the upcoming Expendables 2 film, which I'm very excited about because I'm a huge Jean-Claude Van Damme fan. Last year, when we did the retrospectives on the site, Shane, did you write any of them?
I done the Bloodsport.
That's right. You did Bloodsport. You did the Running Man for Schwarzenegger, didn't
you? I did, yes.
Yeah,
I had much fun writing both of them. They're two of my probably favourite films from my teenage years.
I think the Bloodsport one was the initial Van Damme retrospective.
It was the first one that went up, yeah. I mean, obviously it wasn't his first film, but it was definitely the first one I was introduced to, so I was quite keen to write that one.
Yeah, that was actually our very first Action Hero retrospective we did on the site as well, so you were actually in there first.
And I feel it was written very well.
Yeah, also, did I?
Check the site out, give
it
a look.
Absolutely, go check it out. And then if you like that, go check out the other 9 that I did.
Yeah, well, some of us have a lot of time on our hands.
Basically, when we did the retrospective series, we allotted 2 weeks to each hero, and each of the weekdays we'd put up a new retrospective, so 10 per action hero, except Stallone, who we did 4 weeks on.
Yeah.
But the Van Damme ones I enjoyed so much, because I only picked one for each week. I ended up doing 5 bonus retrospectives.
It certainly forced me to go back and watch. I mean, the films I've got in my collection, but it's just something you never watch on a regular basis. And yeah, I enjoyed going back to them.
So, well, let's have a look at the films that reflect on our, well, recollections of when we came across these films.
And the beer adverts.
Exactly, and the beer adverts when we get to them. So I guess the first film, well, if you don't count Breakdance 2, the first proper film was No Retreat, No Surrender, which again saw him play a villain.
Yeah.
Do you remember this film? I have no recollection.
I remember renting it.
Yeah. Do you know who the main guy was?
I have no idea. I'm really struggling to bring back any memories of that film at all.
I seem to remember that hero was... Wasn't he guided by the ghost of Bruce Lee?
Something like that, yeah. I think that's probably why I wiped it from my memory. I think that'd be a...
But I remember Van Damme was a Russian. Was it Ivan?
Ivan.
Something like that. They're all called Ivan, aren't they? Ivan was Ivan in Rocky IV.
I think basically if your name's Ivan and you're Russian, stay away.
You know, the film, you know, made a bit of money, I guess. It was only...
Yeah, it spawned several sequels, I think, as well.
Plenty of sequels. He wasn't involved in any of them. He was invited for the second one, but he turned it down. Because when 87 came around, he did Bloodsport.
Bloodsport, yes. What a film.
Still a favourite.
What a film. And Bolo Young, of course, from the Bruce Lee, End of the Dragon.
Now, you are responsible for me seeing this film. I think you...
I blame my dad. My dad rented it and let me watch it severely underage. So, yeah, big shout out to me dad for that one. That was a good move. Loved it.
Yeah. No, I remember you particularly speaking about this because I was familiar with Van Damme because I'd only seen one film, and that was Cyborg. That was the first film of his that I saw. I'll talk more about that when we get to it, but I remember having seen that and thought, you know, that guy's kind of cool, and because he was doing things that other action heroes weren't doing, and it's literally just because of the way that he choreographs his fighting.
Yeah, it was definitely we used to rent a lot of... Me and my dad used to rent a lot of martial art films. He used to have the old Chuck Norris films and... Oh, God, all sorts. But, yeah, I remember when he brought Bloodsport home and he said, oh, yeah, like, this bloke's tipped to be the next Bruce Lee or something. I can't remember what the hype around him was at the time. But, no, he definitely stood out for me. And, like I say, his fight scenes and the splits. I always remember the splits and desperately trying to recreate them in my bedroom to no avail.
Yeah, very famous for the splits, very famous for his roundhouse kicks. A lot of signature moves. And, obviously, he has the accent like a lot of these action heroes do, you know, something about their speech that makes them stand out. Yeah, people make fun of it, but it still helped him stand
absolutely
out.
Absolutely, no, definitely.
Whereas you look at all these action heroes in the 80s that tried to become a big thing, Michael Dudikoff, and, you know, various others that did all these ninja movies that went straight to sort of video, they haven't quite managed it themselves. And they weren't necessarily bad athletes in any sort of sense of the word. It just didn't quite work.
Didn't work. They were missing
it. And Van Damme had it. And it really comes out in Bloodsport. But Bloodsport, I think, although it is in dire need of an upgrade, and I mean the picture quality, I don't mean a remake.
If anybody's listening, don't remake it.
It's still just highly entertaining.
Yeah, and even now, I mean, we're talking how many years?
25?
25 years, yeah, it's still an entertaining film now.
And
I mean,
Whitaker's in it.
Yeah. absolutely. You can still put it on now, and it's definitely held the test of time.
It's weird that the film he did after that then was one that he was a much, much smaller role. And again, playing a villain, Black Eagle.
Oof, yeah.
With Sho Kasugi.
Yes.
Another martial artist, certainly a star back then.
I remember seeing that one once, and purely because Van Damme was in it, but like I say, the role was so small.
Yep.
I think I watched it the once, and yeah.
Yeah, I watched it the once, and I've literally forgotten about it. Yeah. But I know it was because he was in it that I sought it out. But
yeah, so I mean, he was like smack bang in the middle of the video cover. I remember like seeing it, going, "Oh yes, another Van Damme film," and you get it home, and like a bit like Executive Decision with
Seagal
and Kurt Russell. Died extremely early on in the film?
About halfway through. Not even the halfway point that Seagal gets ejected out of the plane.
Bummed.
Yeah. Well.
To say the least.
That's still one of his better films, to be honest. But Cyborg came after that, and this is actually where I first discovered Van Damme, because they were showing, you know, every now and again you'd get TV trailers of upcoming videos.
Yeah.
And be these TV adverts that came on, it wouldn't just be for the one film, it would be, you know, four films that were about to come out for rent. This is around about the same sort of time Mariella Frostrop had her TV show on.
And I used to like that. A couple of shots,
and I remember Cyborg sticking out to me just because of, you know, it looked sort of post-apocalyptic. And there were shots of this guy, you know, hitting people and swinging down on poles that were, you know, falling away from ceilings and what have you, and getting close-ups of him as he was swinging down. And I thought, I've got to see that.
Yeah.
And I watched it and really, really liked it. Nowadays,
I remember I didn't have the foresight you had. It was literally brought home to me again on video. It didn't have... I enjoyed it at the time. It was there's bits of action in there, some good scenes, especially with the weird villain looking dude with the funny
blue eyes.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that really couldn't act to save
his
life.
That's the one, yeah.
He was in Point Break, wasn't he?
Yes,
one of the surfers.
He was. But it didn't have the same sort of appeal as Bloodsport. It wasn't sort of the humour aspect. He had a slight humour aspect with Bloodsport, like with the guys chasing after him and he's running through the hotel and all the streets.
Yeah,
and
this film was
It was very humourless.
It was also badly edited in a lot of places. And the final fight, I remember just being a...
And the story was pretty weak,
yeah,
to be fair. It wasn't what I'd call a...
All-in-out.
It wasn't a roller coaster ride of a film. It was very bland.
I can see where they tried to fit in, you know, a bit of backstory with his character and what have you.
Yeah, the flashbacks and with his family.
But it just wasn't quite working.
Didn't really go anywhere.
I did quite like, although it's very synthy sounding, I did quite like the music score that they used.
It definitely fitted the film quite well. It was a good score.
But I actually got...
And the final fight scene, I mean, it was the one when it's all in there, all wet and it was rainy.
All rain and everywhere and all was, like,
the really bad, like... It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
For the day.
For the day.
But like I say, you go back to it now.
But
not,
you know, the director released a director's cut, and I got it, and it's really not that much different from the original film, but it's from a work print, so it looks atrocious.
Even worse.
It is even worse. So, but I got a signed copy. But it's
should be worth at least £5.
Just for anybody that's sort of half curious about checking it out, don't bother. But if you really love the first film, like I don't anymore, then by all means go and get it. We're supposed to be rating these films as we go along.
Well, right, back to Bloodsport.
Yeah, never mind No Retreat or Black Eagle because we can't remember them. Bloodsport, what would you rate that out of 5 now?
Ooh, it's still very enjoyable. I'd give that a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm fully on board. I can stick that film on at any sort of time and get the same kind of enjoy, nothing yeah. about it annoys me. It's great stuff. What about Cyborg?
Very generous 2.5.
We don't do half stars on Filmwork, Shane. Ugh. Bloody part timer.
But I'm too nice to give it a 2-star, which is what I'm edging towards. But I'm sorry, it's going to have to be a 2.
It's definitely a 2.
It has to be a 2. It has its moment. It does have its moments. There's some bits in there I like, yeah.
One moment that I did like was in the sewers when he's doing the split.
Yes.
To avoid detection.
And then swings down.
He just comes down with a knife and stabs that guy, who I believe was Rolf Müller. Who you will have seen in some stuff. I think he was in Best of the Best 2.
Gladiator. I do remember Best of the
Gladiator
Best.
Gladiator as well. The big guy, because you know, you've seen Gladiator, haven't you?
Yeah.
When Russell Crowe gets taken out of the slave trade, there's the black guy there, and then there's the big white dude that's sort of whipping them all, who becomes his friend, that guy.
Yeah.
He's like Sven Ole Thornson, guy that's always sort of there in these kind of action films.
Yeah.
He pops up every now and again. Well, next one came along was Kickboxer.
Yeah, baby!
Now, I saw Kickboxer pretty much... I think I actually saw Kickboxer before Bloodsport, now that I think about it, because I always thought that Kickboxer came out the year before Bloodsport.
I'm with you on this. I always thought Kickboxer was before Bloodsport. I don't know why, because I did see them in the right order, so...
Yes.
I don't know if it's because maybe it looks like he's younger or it looks an old... I don't know, but something always made me feel like it was before...
If he did do Bloodsport after Kickboxer, it would feel like progression,
story-wise,
because this is, you know, one guy fighting one guy, whereas the other one is one guy going to fight in a tournament. But, you know, fair enough. Kickboxer did come out in 1989, and it's got some groovy dancing.
You could dance off. The dancing?
It's got some ace dancing.
Oh, yeah, dancing. I'm good. Why?
If Van Damme has sort of tapped into iTunes and is listening to this, thank you for doing that dance moves in there, which I picked up on and didn't get laid till I was 19.
Really?
You're a legend. It was awesome.
The last thing you should do while you're dancing is clap.
I don't know. Family discos, family weddings and all that, it's acceptable.
Yeah.
You can get away with it.
Only at a certain age, but he had no excuse because he was in his 20s.
He was pissed.
Oh, fair enough.
But no, that scene, and to be honest, my favourite scene in that film, and I still play it on YouTube at least once a week to this day, is his brother. Can he fade like me?
Can he move like me?
Can he move like me? And then he's got the nice oiled up slapping of the muscles on it. It's just that is so awesomely.
The brother that doesn't actually seem to have that much muscle.
No, but that is still to me the best bit in the film.
Wonderful haircut and a great porno mustache.
Yeah. Once again, he's in the wrong film.
Yeah. What did you think of the bad guy?
Brilliant. Yeah, I actually really liked him. I thought he was a good villain, especially the scene where he's kicking the concrete post. It's really set a scene. It was just like, yeah, this guy is in fucking trouble.
Absolutely.
No, it was brilliant.
Now, I think it's Michael Keezy, his name, that actor.
He was in AWOL.
Yeah. As one of the two guys coming after him, the one that didn't speak all that much. But he's also in Bloodsport. He's the guy that gets the bone kicked out of his leg.
Ah, the penny drops. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think a good buddy of Van Damme's from back in the day.
Must have been.
Yeah. You know, there's plenty more villains to come along. But so what did you think of Kickboxer now? How would you rate it?
4.
I'm going to be mean and say 3.
No, I'd have to give it a 4 purely for... I'm going to go back to it, the scene. Brilliant. Absolutely legendary. And the Mr. Miyagi sort of role from his... The bloke teaching him. Oh, it's brilliant.
I'll tell you what, though. This one had Wiggle better palm training tree. Montages.
Yes.
There were better shot. Comparing it to Bloodsport, there were better shot, and there was also a lot more humour.
Yeah, I know. I really, really. It's another film I can put on when I get home tonight, and I'd still laugh through it and enjoy it. Yeah. And no,
I'm just thinking
it's
about
a
all
4.
The things that he did to him when he was never mind all the painful stuff, like, you know,
dropping
meat to his legs so he gets chased by dogs
and dropping the big ball on his stomach from height and whatever that was. But no, great.
Sorry, it's still getting a 3. 1990 came Death Warrant, Van Damme's prison movie where he's an undercover cop.
I believe we saw this together for the first time on Pirate.
Did we?
Ooh. Yes, we did. Yeah, so we definitely saw it in this very house.
Yeah, you can't kill together. Me, Burke, I'm the Sandman.
That's it. Enter the Sandman. Once again, it was a serious, more serious role, I think. Was it not? It was not so much.
It was trying to be a straight thriller.
Yeah.
It worked.
To me, unlike Cyborg, which really didn't work, for this sort of first sort of serious type of role, I think this is an improvement on things he had done acting-wise for him. Sort of proved he can do more of a...
I was convinced back then, but when I did watch it again for the retrospectives we did last year, and I just tuned out completely. It has moments, but the action... You think about the action scenes in it, they're not that good. It's more the occasional confrontation that's sort of quite amusing, like with the Latino boys trying.
It's like, to be honest, I think they took, there certainly isn't that much action there, but I think they tried to feel sort of like, say, more of a thriller type story, more of a fuller sort of film.
Well, it made $46 million worldwide, and the budget was way under 20, I think. So it certainly did the job and got him onto the next role. But I'm going to give that one 2.
Ooh.
You watch it again. When was the last time you watched it?
Quite a while ago. I've got it.
There you go. You watch it again, then tell me what you think.
I'll give it a 3.
Well, next one came along. We might have watched this one together. I remember this was at the time when we were certainly both heavily into Van Damme. And it was like, yes, here comes this next one. And it's going to be more of the same stuff that we love.
Please don't say Street Fighter.
AWOL.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Lionheart. Yes, AWOL, his legionnaire.
This is Sugar. Yeah. No shit. Yeah, no shit. How can a film with that line in it or that bit of dialogue not be popular?
I have not the time for this shite. Now, that guy, not his commander, the two guys that come after him, I said one of them was the guy from Kickboxer. The other guy, wasn't he the main heavy, the muscle heavy in Rambo 2? The one that electrocutes, not Stephen Burkoff, Stephen Burkoff's right-hand man, who he throws out a helicopter. Now, this one, you kind of watch this and you think, oh, it's kind of like a little trilogy of films of Van Damme going into the fighting circuit of one sort or another. And this one is obviously, street fighting, I guess, underground fighting. The fights are still very good. The choreography stands up. The story, not quite so much. It's a little bit sappy in places because he's trying to, the family-in-law, it's his brother's family.
We interrupt this programme to bring you this important message. Due to technical difficulties, we lost 5 minutes of important podcast discussion. By technical difficulties, we mean that Shane Meekings is a tool and managed to disconnect his microphone from the server. In this time, our host discussed the importance of each of the fighters that appeared in AWOL, from the sneaky cheating Scotsman to the Fabio wannabe in Speedo, culminating in a joint 3-star review for the film. Our host then turned their attention to Double Impact, a film our host find highly enjoyable to this day, special mention going to the hilarious scene where Jean-Claude Van Damme fights himself, which is preceded by the highly amusing sequence where a guy imagines his twin brother making love to his girlfriend. Shane expressed his desire to eat something as soon as humanly possible. We now return you to the programme at the point where our host discovered his co-host's technical discrepancy.
Have you had that thing on red?
I have no idea.
Oh, fucking hell.
You prick.
Don't fucking... I told you to watch out for that. Yeah, the fight scene, when he's fighting himself, it's actually quite thrilling, but hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, it was just great fun to watch. I mean, I don't know who come up with the idea for it, but yeah, top marks. It was
great fun to watch. Didn't he co-write it with the director, Sheldon Letic?
Yes, he did.
I don't know how you pronounce that guy's last name, but this guy, he also did AWOL with, and writes and produces quite a few of his films, as the next couple of decades come along. But this one I love, and you've got the return of Bolo Young as well, because you've got, the sort of stuck-up British-sounding bad guy, and then you've got the Oriental businessman, then you've got Bolo, and then you've got the lesbian as well. Is she a bodybuilder?
Could have been.
Because I think Ben Pegley did the retrospective, and I think he mentioned her. I think he was quite taken by her back in the day.
I prefer my women to look like women.
What, like the blondes who can't act in this one?
Yeah, that'll do. To be honest with you, it's not one I revisited quite a bit. I think it's somewhere in my collection picking up dust.
Oh, God, I watched this one over and over again.
But yeah, I like the cheesy Van Damme. It's like the yin and yang. I like the idea of it.
Doesn't get any
more
cheesy in the
introduction.
The one that's living in America, that scene when he's teaching the class with the women and he's wearing that tight outfit, the nice bright blue.
makes you question yourself, doesn't it, when you're watching something?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to give this a one.
I'm giving this one a four, mate. I love this.
I'm gonna go a two, purely because, yeah, it's not certainly not one I revisited a lot.
I think this one could be my top five Van Damme movies of all time.
Rather taken with the pink shorts, I think.
But, well, hey, it made 80 million worldwide. That's got to, you know, that's certainly
that's
showing.
40
that
million per Van Damme.
Yep, so it's certainly showing that the gay fan club is really starting to come out in droves.
Yeah, I think that's more to do with the times.
After this, he really hit the big time with Universal Soldier, which was the match-up of him and Dolph Lundgren, who was also becoming the big thing as well. So I think it's kind of cool that these two got together and did that, because a lot of action stars back then didn't.
There wasn't a lot of collaboration, was there? They've got to be
the first sort of two hot items at the time that actually got together and did
shared
that.
Because I think a lot the of the time, light.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time, some of them don't want to play the villain, because it means they get killed by the other guy, so none of them want to get their asses kicked.
Yeah, none of them wants
Van
to be
Damme
the loser.
And I know Van Damme has an issue with that.
Really?
Because even with Expendables 2, he was like, yeah, I'll do it, but, you know, I just don't want to get my ass kicked by Stallone or anybody else for that matter. But it's like, you've got to.
So how's that going to pan out?
Yeah, exactly. You just have to make it a great and worthy fight, yeah. Really. Him and Lundgren certainly go for it in this film. And then again in Universal Soldier Regeneration.
Yes, which...
which has an even better fight, but we'll come to that one later on. What did you think of this one?
It was one of my favourites, I think, at the time. Like I say, two big action stars at the time. I think Lundgren, for me, I think I was a big fan since he done The Punisher.
Oh yeah, I used to really
like that film. So yeah, I was proper excited to see them, you know, both go sort of side by side and then head to head, so to speak, in this film. A lot of muscle, a lot of film.
Plenty of humour as well.
Yeah, no, once again, you know,
a lot of naked Van Damme. I remember him just being naked a lot.
We're starting to get a bit of a theme here, aren't we, with the pink shorts and the nakedness and the Van Damme.
Well, that was another recurring trend. Or, Van Damme also always gets his arse out.
Was it ever a double? Was it double arse, double impact, double bum?
I don't think the film was quite as strong as it was when it first came out, but again, this is 1992 we're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about...
I mean, how old were we? 16? And that was Roland Emmerich, who went on to do Independence Day, and Stargate after this, and then Independence Day, so he became a big thing as well. But it took over 100 million at the box office, so certainly a big
done
hit
well.
For both these guys. But you know, there's an alternative ending on Universal Soldier.
I've not seen it.
Which is on the DVD, and it's a little bit more sort of gruesome. You know, I mean, the fight kind of ends this, sort of the same way. But then the doctor that he went to, who the guy from Dirty Dancing,
yeah,
he comes back with all the military and they all shoot him.
All right.
Basically, yeah. But then I think, even then, I don't think he dies. But you know, the parents that he got hooked up with, apparently they turn out to be fake parents.
Is that a bit of a Total Recall moment they've got going on?
I think it was a setup in order to get Dolph Lundgren's character to come find him so that they could kill them both.
Okay.
Put them both out of their misery.
So that's what they cut off, is it? And they
certainly a different ending worth sort of checking out. You have to grab.
And that's
the DVD
on the DVD release, is it?
Yep, the special edition. After this, '93, he did Nowhere to Run, which annoyed me because the guy that directed it did The Hitcher.
Was that the one with the Arquette girl in it?
That's right.
Yep.
Rosanna.
Yes.
The older Arquette girl, and the guy Ted Levine from Silence of the Lambs playing the heavy.
Put the fucking lotion in the basket.
Joss Ackland's Diplomatic Immunity from Lethal Weapon 2, playing the sort of head bad guy. This one didn't make much of an impact on me.
I remember having this one on video. I think I got it in like Woolworths for like 2 for 50p or something. I think I watched it quite regularly at the time.
Yeah.
I think I was quite taken with it. Was that the one? Oh, trying to think now. I had like the building.
I know he's an escaped convict because there's a bus crash and he escapes from the bus.
But there's something going on in the town with the girl.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get them out of their house.
Get them out of the house. It was,
off the reservation, and then the heavies come in to try and sort of wrap them up.
And he
creates a bond with the family, yada, 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 and has a fight at the end. I appreciate that this is him actually really doing something different. It's not just him being all about, you know, the high kicks.
Yeah.
But it just bored the living hell out of me. And I've only seen it a couple of times.
Well, so I do remember when I had it on video, I watched it quite regularly. But as I've gotten older, as this podcast is ever so nicely pointing out to me, going back to my early teens. But no, it's not one I've certainly gone out and bought on DVD, unlike some of the others.
It's a 2-star one for me. Did we mark Universal Soldier?
No.
Well, that's probably a 4. A 3. Yeah, a 3 for me, 2 for Nowhere to Run. Next up, same year, came Hard Target.
I was seem to remember that had an arrow on the front cover, did it not?
That's right, he was reflected in the blade of the arrow.
Yes, I do remember.
And he had the Billy Ray Cyrus hairdo.
A must have.
Yeah, Lance Henriksen and the Mummy, Arnold Vosloo playing the bad guys. What do you reckon of this one? This was John Woo's first American movie.
In which case it was probably packed with action.
It was packed with action, but it was also packed with extraneous amounts of slow motion. And I don't just mean the action, I mean people just arriving in a scene, walking down the street, walking out of a door, like Van Damme walking out of a cafe, slow motion. Later on, the girl who he meets, because, yeah, he meets her again later on, again he's walking in slow motion.
Do they not do that just to make the film last longer?
Well, that's what I think. I think if you
overdo it
at normal speed, the film would be half an hour.
Exactly.
I did watch it again recently, and the action does stand up. The slow motion does get really annoying.
I'm not surprised with John Woo. I mean, he's...
But it is unbelievably over the top.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the film doesn't try to take itself seriously anyway.
I think that's the point. I mean, if you can see through a film like that and it does try and be something it really isn't, then, yeah, you're not going to fool a lot of people with that. I don't think.
It's one of these ones that still has cult appeal about it. And I'll give it that. I mean, the film is daft. But it has some really good action in it, some very impressive stunt work. Not quite one of my favourites, but one that I certainly remember.
It's not one that I recall watching a lot, so to be fair.
Yeah, I think I saw it a couple of times when it sort of came out, and then, not at the cinema, obviously, I was too young. You know, had to wait another year before I turned 18 at this point. Yeah, 3, I'm giving that one a 3.
I'll give it a 2.
Oh, you mean bastard.
Yeah, well, he's had points off me for some of the other ones.
Right.
Kickboxer.
The following year, I was at college, and I did see my first Van Damme movie at the cinema, which I loved at the time, and to this day, I think is unbelievably underrated, and I really love, is Time Cop.
Yes.
Time Cop, I think, is not given enough credit, just because... You don't expect that kind of complexity in a Van Damme story. This is easily in my top 5. I absolutely love this film. I think it's hilarious in places. I think it's exciting. It's got a really good villain. And it's got some really, really good action from Van Damme.
It's got everything.
It ticks all the
boxes. It's like the good all-round Van Damme film.
Yep.
And
again, he's got just the
I think probably the one that opened him up to almost another audience as well.
Yeah,
possibly.
Definitely. And I think this was his biggest hit.
Yes.
But literally from here on, it starts to go down the way. Box office success. I mean, he still did a lot of films that came out in the theatres before he started doing direct-to-DVD, or direct-to-video even. No, this one did a lot for me. And I think it stands up. And it was directed by Peter Hyams, who did Outland, the Connery science fiction film, 2010, the sequel. But he also went on to direct Van Damme in another film, which we'll get to in a bit. And Van Damme is now currently being directed by this guy's son.
Oh, well.
John Hyams. John Hyams did the Universal Soldier Regeneration. You know, the talent must run in a family, but, you know, I'll go into more detail about that when we hit those movies. But this one, mate, I've got to say 5.
5.
Absolutely love it. It doesn't get
old. Like I say, it ticks all the boxes. Yep. It was a good
all-rounder.
And
it's got Mirsara in it. Who doesn't like Mirsara?
Very true.
Sadly...
This is where it all starts to go downhill.
From one end of the scale to the other, the same year, I don't know how the hell he did it, but it's like, let's put him in this well-known property that is unbelievably successful, put Van Damme in a leading role, have the guy who writes it be the guy who was also responsible for the script for Die Hard, who also directed this film, and how the hell Street Fighter turned out to be what it is, I just don't know.
The perfect storm.
It's his worst performance on ever in anything.
Kylie Minogue, for fuck's sake.
She was pointless. She was barely in it.
Yeah.
And rest of the supporting cast just looked cheap. I don't even think Raul Julia was very good.
No, I think
I suppose for a little bit of camp value, I think he sensed the tone of what the film was actually what
I was a fan of the game. I really liked the game.
I was more of a
never
Mortal
played
Kombat
it after.
Which is funny. I was more of a Mortal Kombat fan, and who's the American fighter in that? Johnny Cage.
Yep.
Was actually based on Van Damme.
There
so you
go.
Think they would have put him in that film that was out? Was that out the same year? Mortal Kombat
it
must have been.
It
this
could
year
have been
or the
one of
after.
The doubles.
It was '94 like, or '95.
Yeah, it could have been one of the. Or let's release a load of computer
bad,
game
bad
films.
Bad bit of miscasting, because the character that Van Damme plays, is it Colonel Guile?
Yes.
He's got that giant shaving brush blonde hairdo. Just wrong.
No,
wrong
on so many levels.
I knew it was going down the moment that he first came on screen, because he interrupts a TV broadcast. He's like, hey, I'm on TV. Just YouTube that moment if you can, folks. And you'll just
it sets the scene.
It does. It sets the tone for the rest of the film. And it's, yeah, it's pretty bad. So this one is getting a 1.
Really?
Yep,
that's
1 star.
Generous.
Yeah.
I'll give it, oh, let me think, sweet fuck all.
Thankfully he made up for it with another film that I put right up there with Time
He could
Cop.
Have shown his bum on the screen for an hour and a half and it would have made up for that film. Not that I'm interested. Not going back to the pink pants or the gay sort of water fight scene in AWOL, but yeah, he could have shown his bum on screen for an hour and a half and it'd been like, yeah, that's going to make a lot more money than Street Fighter.
Anyway, Sudden Death came out the following year. This is Van Damme's Die Hard movie.
It's the ice hockey. Ice hockey one?
That's right, it's the ice hockey rink. And it was produced by the owners of that rink, I believe. But this is, they figured it out. They thought, right, all we've got to do is put him in there and have him say fuck all. Because he doesn't have a hell of a lot of dialogue. He does have some dialogue. It's literally all about just ratcheting up the tension, which they do beautifully.
Yeah.
Just by setting, you know, on the screen you'd get so many minutes to game time and as it approaches and as the bad guys are setting up.
If I remember rightly, I think the standout scene for me is when he comes out dressed up in all the hockey gear.
And he's
the goalie.
And he ends
was
up
he the goalie?
Goal. It's
yeah.
the goalie. That is easily one of the standouts.
Awesome. Loved it.
But there's another standout moment before that. When he fights someone who's dressed as a giant penguin.
Not many people can say they've done that, and he done it well.
This guy, literally just punching this giant soft toy.
Yeah, that was a good call. That was a very good film.
It was a very good film. Paris Booth, you know, just goes over the top as the main villain, but I think he gets away.
He can be forgiven.
Exactly. The only sour note, really, was literally his death scene, when he's in a helicopter and it crashes into him. That was way over the top. And I have to say, poorly edited. Because it cuts... You imagine this, you've got a shot of this helicopter dropping towards this rink, and then it cuts to the bad guy inside going, ah! You know, the death scream. Then it cuts to the exterior shot again of it falling. Cuts to him, ah! You see it smashing into the ice, him, ah! You see it exploding,
at
him,
what point
ah! You see it
you
still exploding,
move?
Him, ah! And it's like, at what point is he dead? Yeah, but that aside, I do. I truly love this film. I think it's one of the best sort of die hard in a...
Yeah.
Rip-offs, if you can call it that, which we will, that has been done. Oh man, it beats the hell out of Passenger 57.
Yes.
And Under Siege, for that matter.
Or
but yeah,
Steven
I'm going
Seagal.
5. I'm going 5 for this one as well.
I will give that a 5 as well.
Aren't you
I'm
nice?
I'm feeling generous again.
So yeah, but then going back into, I need to play myself twice in one film territory. Came maximum.
Does he get double the wages? Do you think that's what it is? I'm skinned. I'm going to play myself twice.
It's either that way or that way, you know. Cause they're probably writing scripts for him where he says very little, so he figures if I play two roles, I'll get twice as many lines. Maximum Risk came along, directed by Ringo Lam, who is a director he worked with a few times.
And that was with Natasha Henstridge?
That's right. I don't like this one.
Oh, I liked her, though.
What, the Species Lady?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Very much so.
Yeah, this one just didn't do it for me. I just found
I'll
it
be honest with
dumb.
You, I haven't seen this one. I missed it. And
really?
I don't think I've missed anything, to be honest. I've never been recommended it. I've never heard anybody speak of it, to be fair.
And yet you knew who was in it.
And I've got this weird mind where I can... If you tell me any film, I can tell you what the video cover was.
Yeah.
I look through HMV so many times trying to find something to watch.
I think this one's leaning up against the car and it's a close-up of him pointing a
pointing
gun.
Pointing
the
gun, it is, and she's stood next... Yeah. It is.
Greasy hair. Yeah, no, this was a 2-star rating, mate. But after that, he tried to get a little bit gutsy, because he directed his first film next with The Quest. And I don't remember... I know it came out in a cinema, but it did not come out in a cinema near where we were. because otherwise we would have gone to see it.
Selected cinemas.
And it is literally like he wants to go back into the Bloodsport territory, but do sort of an epic at the same time. Mm. You know, set at sort of turn of the century. He gets thrown, he's like a burglar on the streets of New York or something like that, and ends up in the slave trade far abroad with Roger Moore playing a pirate.
This actually, really, I saw a bit of this. This was on the night before on 5 USA, I think, on telly. And I caught a bit with Roger Moore, and he was, I think they were sitting down for like lunch or something at this, I can't remember now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wasn't. No, they were inside like a prison type situation.
Right. I've got to say, it's actually shot quite well. There was a huge dude in it who was the main sort of antagonist.
And he had like the bald head and the...
That's right, and he had like the handlebar sort
of
mustache.
Yes, yeah.
But I think, God, where was he supposed to be from? But no, it wasn't that guy.
It's like a Tibetan sort
that's
of
right.
type person.
Yeah, definitely. But it also had James Remar in it as well,
mm-hmm.
who Van Damme takes his place in this fighting contest. And the fights themselves aren't too bad. But if anything, he should have spent more time on the contest itself. Because what I liked about Bloodsport is that you saw it going on round after round. And as it started getting into sort of quarters, semis, and then finals, you got a sense of who was still in it and how good they were. Whereas this film loses that.
Yeah.
And that's important if you're going to do a tournament fighting movie.
Yeah, you want the background. You want to know who the big contenders are.
And you want to know who's still around as it starts to tighten up. But yeah, this film lost a little bit of that, which did it a little bit of harm. But it's not bad, but you get to see Van Damme in old man makeup at the bookends of the film. But I've got to say, I'm torn between whether it's a 2 or a 3. So usually when I get stuck with that, I just go for the lower.
Give it a 2.
2. But I would say worth checking out, certainly if you're a fan of Van Damme, because he directed it. It is impressive what he did. So I'll give him 4 marks for effort, but...
Not a lot of content.
Great. Then the next year, 1997, he directed his first... He was directed by Choi Hark, who also did a few films with him. This was Double Team. This one was bizarre. This is the one with
the basketball player, yeah.
It's just so weird. It starts off as one thing, and then he ends up on this colony of ex-agents... And then he has to escape from that, and then it's something else again, and it's all over the shop.
It's
this
just a mismatch of... I don't think it really knew what it really wanted to be.
Because this director's quite kinetic with the action scenes. They're all over the place. But this film... Oh, mate, this is like a one-star rated film.
If that.
But it picks up...
It was better than Street Fighter.
Oh, God, yeah. It's not that much of a one-star rated film. But the director picked up a bit better the following year, because they did Knock Off the following year, which is a real guilty pleasure. It's a real treat. This is the one, I hate to say it, has Rob Schneider in it as the sidekick.
Yeah, I think this is another... I think this one went under my radar. I don't think I've actually seen this one either.
It's a good giggle. This is definitely the one that you watch with your mates. There's a scene where they take part in a race, but it's a race where one guy runs and carries the other... His
no, I have seen this. It's another one I've caught on the telly. I remember this scene, a rickshaw.
So Rob Schneider's sitting in that, and Van Damme's...
Yes, I have seen this scene.
And they're racing along, and they go crashing through this market, and all this like fish and stuff lands on them. And once they come out of it, Rob Schneider sort of looks around and realises he's got an eel in his lap. This dead eel that was on its sale in the market. So he just grabs it and uses that as a whip and starts belting Van Damme on the arse. It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, it sounds like I should check.
But the actual, when it gets to the proper violent action scenes with the bad guys and what have you, it's really, really well shot and really well done. And it is fast cut, but it's fast cut done well. And there's some pretty gruesome stuff going on. But there's also a lot of really good humour going on at the same time. It's really offbeat, the humour of this film, and I highly recommend it to anybody that's not seen it. Guilty pleasure, because it's a 3-star rated film,
have one.
But it's one that you kind of want to give 4 to, but you wouldn't tell anyone. So on that note, it's a 3. What about...
Keep it to yourself.
Legionnaire. Have you seen that? And it is not...
It's not a AWOL remake.
He actually just plays a Legionnaire in this one. out in the deserts, again with his buddy Sheldon. And the director of this one was the guy that did Rambo 3,
which I also wrote the retrospective on.
But this one's famous for not getting a theatrical release despite having a budget of $35 million, which was pretty big budget back then for a Van Damme movie. It's okay, but again, 2 stars. It's got Stephen Berkoff,
yes,
in it as one of the commanders. It's basically, you know, the team come together and they have to get across the desert, and then they get barricaded up in this fort as all the natives sort of come in to try and kill them all.
Okay.
And it's a matter of who's left standing at the end kind of thing. Not bad, but it just takes a hell of a long time to get there.
And that was just straight to DVD jobby, was it?
Yeah, over here. I don't know why that is, considering the budget, but something went wrong. But, you know, it looks
probably
okay.
Didn't test
Van Damme's
very well.
All right in it. But, again, it's not a Van Damme fighting film, it's a Van Damme with a rifle film. Literally, the last theatrical release he had over here, until recently, came out next, Universal Soldier 2, The Return, which was abysmal.
Snappy title. I think it's one of the ones I'll probably put on. Yeah.
So the films that we're going to go through next, you're going to be like, nice.
No.
I'll have to whip through them quickly then, and you'll have to.
We need to get to the beer adverts. So we've got.
Yeah. Universal Soldier 2 was appalling. It was barely a sequel. Terrible, terrible film. This one's a 1-star rated film. The film that came up next was a biker movie that he did, also featuring Danny Trejo. Inferno was also atrocious, but the most shocking thing about this film is that it was directed by the guy that did Rocky.
Oh my god.
And the Karate Kid trilogy.
Love the first one.
And Rocky 5.
Didn't like that at
kind
all.
Kind of on the downward spiral, this guy then. Yeah, this film, I don't want to say any more about it. 1 star, avoid. 2001, he did The Order, again, back with his mate Sheldon. Sheldon directing this time. This is when he's going really heavy, heading into direct-to-video territory. The Order, this is, you know, you'd go into Woolworths and you'd see every other month the next Van Damme or the next Steven Seagal film coming up. This was one of those. But you'd see co-starring and then a really big name. You'd be like, what the hell are they doing in this? This had Charlton Heston in it.
Jesus.
In one of his last roles. Playing, you know, a foul-mouthed old buzzard who, you know, he's only in it for about 20 minutes and then dies and that's it. So almost pointless sort of cameo. This film is kind of all over the place, but it's supposed to be sort of off on a quest out in the out in the desert lands, you know, trying to find this, trying to find that, and bad guys trying to chase us. Not quite Indiana Jones, but
close.
Certainly going on a quest.
Yeah, you're not selling it to me.
One or two for this.
Go with the lower.
One.
Go with the lower.
After this, he did Replicant, where I think for the last time so far, he played himself twice.
Twice.
Again.
Double the budget, double the.
Yes, he plays a serial killer with long hair and glasses, killing women.
Could work.
And so they replicate him.
Clues in the title, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Clues in the title.
If you've seen Blade Runner, you know what it's all about. or Star Trek. It has Michael Rooker in it as well as the cop that tries to use this replicant to find the serial killer. And, you know, there's some really interesting stuff going on here because Michael Rooker hates this killer with a passion.
Okay, so he had a vendetta.
Yeah, a vendetta, that's a better way of putting it. So when he gets this copy to work with, and the replicant version of this character is very childlike. Because he's just been born into the world, so he has to learn everything from scratch. And Michael Rooker's character behaves like a bully towards him, because it's like, every time I see this guy, I see the guy that I want to kill.
Yeah.
So you get a relationship sort of developing there slowly, as this sort of shy, meek Van Damme starts to sort of learn everything, and then this other guy slowly starts to warm to him. But, I mean, there's quite a brutal scene about half an hour in, where he actually takes him home, and there's one scene where he doesn't know where he's gone and he's worried that he's attacking his child, mm-hmm. and he beats the living hell out of him until he discovers that, oh, actually, he wasn't doing that after all. Whoops, my bad. I'll just leave you here handcuffed into the bathroom for the rest of the night.
Sounds a little disturbing.
Exactly. And you'd think, you know, with that going on, it would be quite good, as well as the element of the serial killer killing people and then hunting him down. It's completely wasted. It really is. It is a 2-star rated film, but it could have easily
could
been
have,
a 4.
Yeah, that could have worked.
And although it's, you know, low budget, it's not the budget that's the problem. But another thing that I noticed in this film is that this is where Van Damme starts using a lot of doubles for action.
Okay.
Because you can tell by the cutting and the angles. There's even a scene where he's learning to do, you know, the splits and push-ups, pull-ups, all sorts of, you know, like you're on the bar, you're like hanging by your legs and you swing around and all that sort of shit. Work, basically.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of this sort of heavy gym work. And you can tell that even in scenes like that, they're using a double.
She's just getting too old for it at this point.
Well, this is sort of 10, 12 years ago, so he's going to be 40.
Still so not past it.
No, not at all. I think
not past
probably
it.
Probably just too lazy to do it, which is a bit of a shame, especially
yeah.
when you can notice it as a viewer going, come on, man, you're using a double. What can
yeah,
you do?
It's not a clever move.
Anyway, it has to get a 2, but, you know, I would say check it out just to see what could have been. Definitely. After this, he did his worst film ever, in my opinion, called Derailed.
I'm going to have to keep reminding this Street Fighter at this point.
Yeah, this
saying
is
his
worse
worst
than Street Fighter.
Ooh.
And I mean it. This film is just the worst thing ever, and some of the worst effects I've seen ever. Yeah, stay away from it.
Yeah,
2003, he did In Hell, which is another prison movie, back with Ringo Lam. This one's actually quite interesting because it's very bizarre, the plot. It's very hard to talk about, but it is him in prison, but it's not him in prison, you know, on a mission or anything like that. He actually is in prison. It's more of a drama. Nothing
yeah.
to do with fighting. It's got nothing to do with that. It's really bizarre, but really dark and rainy and, you know, set in Asia.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the, like, horrible prisons ever.
Nasty.
With mud everywhere outside and indoors is damp and wet and everywhere.
As prisons should be.
Yeah, and everyone is, you know, pretty much behaving the bully. But it's, yeah, an oddity. So I'm going to give this one 3, just because it does make
it's
me go,
different.
I want to see it again. After that, he did Wake of Death, which was him sort of going back into sort of cop and assassin territory. This one's okay.
To be honest, I've never even heard of this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, literally, you know, you did, like, Wake of Death. All right, I'm just going to fly through him. Wake of Death, not bad, okay, whatever, 2 stars. 2007... Now, here's a treat. A film called Until Death.
Right.
He plays a bent copper.
Brilliant.
And I think it's New Orleans it's set.
Bent copper as in he's
as
got
in
his
he's
pink
corrupt.
Shorts back on again.
Okay. Yeah. Corrupt copper. First half of the film is literally him just, you know, he can do the job, but he is, you know, taking money and
yeah.
scamming and yada, 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 and having sex with hookers and not being good to the family, blah, blah. And he gets shot in the head. And ends up losing a lot of his memory, but also a lot of his personality. So it's like he has to start all over again as a person.
Has this not been done before?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
It's kind of like. I mean, this film keeps the thriller element to it, but while maintaining the drama of him trying to, you know, reconnect with his family, reconnect with people at work. People at work hate him because
yeah.
of what he used to be, and it's literally about redemption in the end. And it's really well shot. It's got a decent cast, although
I'll be honest,
none of them
this sounds quite interesting.
Yeah,
I think
none of them are any
sort
of big
out.
Names, except maybe the sort of main villain who pops up here and there, played by the Irish actor Stephen Ray. But this one, it was literally I was going through all the direct-to-video stuff I had not seen, expecting absolute tosh, like you get with Seagal.
Yeah.
But I've got to say, Van Damme's sort of caliber in these films is much, much bigger. It's much better because he's actually taking on roles that require him to
push himself almost. He's not
yeah, definitely.
He's not pigeonholed in the same old right yeah,
yeah.
I'm a man who's going to go kick ass and
yeah.
then that's it, film over.
Because as much as people make fun of him for not being the best actor on the planet and what have you, you can say that about Seagal. He does do the same role over and over again, and his director video stuff is abysmal.
Yeah.
Van Damme's, there is a mixed bag there, but when you find the right one, it's an absolute gem. And this is one of them. It was basically when I saw the film JCVD, which came out a little bit later, that made me go back and watch all these films that I missed. I was like, yay, Van Damme, I
yeah.
want to go see
you
all
want
the
make
stuff
sure
I
you
missed.
Not missed anything.
And this was one of the ones, and it was, yeah, it's really good. It's getting 4 stars. After this, he did the Shepherd Border Patrol, which I've not seen, but it is notable for the fact that it's the first film he did with Scott Adkins. You know this guy?
Yeah.
He's gonna play his right-hand man in Expendables 2.
Brilliant.
But yeah, I think in this one, Adkins plays the antagonist that Van Damme has to take down. But I've not seen it, so I can't rate it. But also in 2008, we got JCVD.
You have introduced me to this. I haven't seen it yet. You highly recommended it to me. I saw the first, is it the one-shot scene? The
opening scene.
The opening scene. Yeah, it sold it to me, that scene. But I haven't as yet got around to seeing it. But no, it definitely brings him back in. Like I say, he's a different caliber of these sort of straight to DVD
actors. And now he is pushing 50, just about. He's late for, he's like 48.
It does show. I must admit, it does show. But one shot scene that he done, yeah, it was
at the beginning of the film.
It almost brought a smile back to you, because like I say, I'm very much in the land of the AWOLs, the blood sport, you know, the very early stuff. And it almost took me back to the first time I'd seen him. I was just like, oh yeah, this guy's a legend. Yeah, he's very, very
well
done.
He is indeed. The writer-director just, you know, put together, you know, just gold on paper for him. That opening scene, it is literally pretty much almost one shot. And it's impressive. Watch it. It's got a really cool song in the background as well.
Yeah.
And it's just great watching him run around and do all this stuff. But at the end of it, the director that's in the film directing that just couldn't give two shits about it. Because something's gone wrong, they've got to do it again. And Van Damme's complaining, he's like,
I'm,
you know, I'm 47 years old, I can't keep doing this. And it ends up with him sort of going away into a room by himself, just sort of sitting down, putting his hands on his chin and looking directly into camera. And you can see all the wrinkles on his face and how haggard it's sort of making him. And I was like, this is going to be interesting.
It's almost like a cry for help.
But throughout this film, there's just so much good stuff going on. Just his interactions with the public, because he plays himself in this film, or a version of himself.
I think we should also mention the trailer that you made me check out.
If you can find this, folks, because it is actually hard, because it doesn't come on the DVD or the Blu-ray in this country, and it's actually quite hard to find on
YouTube.
But if you can, there's a teaser trailer that is not in the film. It's a teaser trailer where you have a room full of guys in white leotards who have come to audition for the role of Jean-Claude Van Damme in the upcoming film JCVD. Van Damme actually shows up to the audition
and doesn't get the part.
The guy that's holding the auditions doesn't think that he's right for the part. And Van Damme just standing there looking at this guy bemused, like, you know, well, who better to play me than me? And just has this great conversation. And it's all in French, because the film is subtitled. It's just great, because
to be honest, I think it says quite a bit of Jean-Claude Van Damme for a person. He obviously doesn't take himself that seriously.
Yeah, well, this is what we're noticing in a lot of these action stars now. They're really loosening up now.
Yeah.
And showing Stallone's always had that sense of humour about himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, Schwarzenegger's starting to get it now. So when his comeback really starts to kick in, we'll see just how well that goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, Van Damme definitely in this one. He really, really opened up the doors to make fun of himself and his past, all the ups and downs that he's had. And this teaser trailer exemplifies that.
Yeah,
it's a great moment when one of the guys in the background comes over and he wants like an autograph and won't stop leaving him alone, and Van Damme's just like, do you want me to smack you in the face? But this film also has quite a famous scene now. Spoilers ahoy, if you've not seen this film, folks, there's a scene where Van Damme breaks the fourth wall, and again, it's one shot. It lasts for 7 minutes, and he does a monologue to camera about his life and where things have gone, and it's a beautiful bit of acting. It really is. It almost brought a tear to my eye.
Just shows what he's capable of, really.
Yeah, this film is a cult classic. I hope more people see it. I think it is actually my favourite Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It'll be very soon joining my DVD collection, I think, if I can find room.
Yeah, I should think so and all. This one, 5 stars. Well, I mean, from here, you know, this sort of the upward climb started again, because he went back to Universal Soldier,
Regeneration.
With John Hyams, the son of Peter Hyams. Van Damme's only in about half the film, but it's interspersed. You get a little bit here, a little bit there, and then the final drive towards the end of the last half hour. But Dolph Lundgren's in it for about maybe 15 minutes.
It's 15 minutes worthwhile, I think.
Definitely. This film, I mean, if you watch this film, you think, where's this going? It's a bit slow, what's going on? Just hold out for that last half hour. The moment that Van Damme goes out to battle is amazing. And you watch that, there's a lot of sustained shots when he's going from room to room, fighting, stabbing, shooting, throwing people out windows. It's really, really cool. On the lead up to him reaching Dolph Lundgren's character. And I love the subtlety that Lundgren puts into the performance there, because when he meets him, he remembers him, but not quite. It's almost like when you've seen someone from school,
and you're like, "Do I?"
And he even says, "You know, there's something I need to tell you, but I don't know." And then they just start. Van Damme starts attacking him,
as you do.
And I've got to say, he kind of, oh god, the way that Lundgren goes out in this film is unbelievably gory. And it's almost really cruel as well, because although he is fighting Van Damme,
he deserved better than that.
It's literally at the moment that Van Damme's about to blow his head off that he goes, wait a minute, like he just remembered what he wanted to say, and then he gets killed.
Too late. Sorry, you should have said it earlier. You missed your moment.
But the good news is apparently they're both back for Universal Soldier 4. Same director again.
How do you think that's going to pan out?
Well, I think Scott Adkins might be in it as well. We'll see. We'll see, because this director is good. He can make films visually stunning.
And with the, especially with like films like The Expendable being about at the moment as well, you kind of pin a bit of hope on it, really.
He has directed another film since, which is still yet to come out, which was called The Eagle Path. I think it's now called Soldiers. No idea. He's been toying around with it in the editing room for a while, but it's still not been released yet, so hopefully we'll get that soon. But he did do a straight-to-DVD one called Assassination Games with Scott Adkins again. This was the second film they did. This is one where they team up, though.
Okay.
And this was my first proper introduction to Adkins as an actor. He's quite good. Van Damme's good in this film again. It's a worthy rental, I would say. I don't know if people want to go out and buy it, but it's definitely worth watching. 3 stars. For me. And then obviously last year he returned to the big screen in cartoon form as a crocodile. he gets sod all lines, man. I was really gutted because I did watch it just to hear him. But he has a few lines, but nothing
major. The kids
loved it. Exactly. That'll
make do till they're old enough to watch Bloodsport.
Yeah, absolutely. 665 million worldwide. So technically Van Damme's business. But since then, we're basically just waiting for all the new stuff. They did release a film called Dragon Eyes, which was directed by John Hyams. But Van Damme was in a supporting role. He was like a mentor to someone. He was in a mentor role.
Okay.
But in flashback, again, he mentored a guy in prison. And you just see him doing that. I guess it's Expendables 2 that we're looking forward to now.
Oh, yes.
The bad guy. Have you seen the trailer?
I have.
Yeah, a little bit. He delivers a line, and it isn't delivered very well, about plutonium. And you see a couple of shots of the fight that he has with Stallone. I'm slightly annoyed because he said, you know, there's going to be lots of fighting in it. I fight Stallone. So I was like, oh, so you don't fight anybody else. I kind of want to see him beat someone else up. Now,
do
I know
think
he's
just being quite cagey about it, though? I haven't seen too much about it.
He didn't even appear on the Comic-Con panel, which was sad because I was hoping he would show up. But literally that Comic-Con panel was all about Schwarzenegger. He would not shut up. He was hilarious, but he wouldn't shut up. I'm looking forward to it. I think he's going to be a good villain.
And
I just hope, just as long as the director does the fight right, then it'll be good.
It'll,
but I think he'll at least get to kill one of them near the beginning. Which,
and it's
going to
be a big...
Yeah, Chris and I think it's going to be Jet Li.
Yeah, I had this conversation with my brother the other night, and we actually, funny enough, not having had this conversation with you, we both think it was Jet Li as well.
I think it's easily going to surpass the first one, because the first one has a lot of cheesy factor to it.
I had a big grin on my face from start to finish while watching the first film. It's just like every action film that I ever loved in my early teens all rolled into one.
What is your prediction for Expendables 2?
My prediction?
Yes.
Good or bad?
Pain.
I think it is going to be epic. I honestly think it, like I say, it will. As much as I loved the first one, like I say, I think even now when I watch it, I've still got that childlike grin on my face.
Yep.
But no, I think it's going to be bigger and badder in the second.
Cool,
especially
man.
With another one of my favourites, Chuck Norris, as well.
But there you go, that's us up to date. That's us trawled through Van Damme's back catalogue.
Well, look, let me stop you there.
Go on.
The beer adverts.
Oh my god.
We cannot.
Coors beer.
We cannot have a Van Damme podcast without mentioning the beer adverts.
We also can't have a Van Damme podcast without mentioning the TV show, the Behind Closed Doors.
I saw one. It kind of, I don't know, I wish I'd have followed up on it, and I wish I'd have carried on watching it, but there's just this one episode I remember where he's talking about being a child, and I walked to this church, and I just fell to my knees.
This is how exciting, he actually kneels on the ground.
Yes.
That's the first episode.
Oh, mate, and I actually found that quite cringing to watch. I'm not a religious person in any way, shape, or form, and I don't know, it just...
Well, you'll be happy to know that
I didn't want
is,
it to ruin
that
it.
That is probably the most cringeworthy moment out of the series. The rest of it is pretty entertaining.
I might catch the reruns.
I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. Because each episode, it covers something different.
Because isn't his son in it as well? And his started...
His son and his daughter appear in a lot of his more recent films over the last sort of decade. He always cast them. Because they've got the surname Van Varenberg.
Okay.
So there's Christopher and Bianca, I think, is his daughter. Yeah, but yeah, they're in the show for her. And his wife as well, obviously. But there's
she
lot.
Used to be a supermodel or something.
That's right.
Yeah,
and
that's
they talk about that in one of them as well. Okay. You see them both standing in her kitchen, looking at her old modelling, like front covers of magazines and stuff. And Van Damme just making really crass jokes to the camera about it, just talking about, you know, he used to like go home and masturbate to them and stuff like that. He's going, you know, making gestures to the camera for being smart, and the wife's just shouting at him, telling him off.
Brilliant.
It's good. So you want to say something else about the beer adverts?
Yeah, I mean, what you just go back to the point I made earlier where he's obviously quite willing to not take himself seriously, and them adverts, in my eyes, made me really love Van Damme again. I just love them.
Cool.
The Take My Breath Away one where he's making the snow angels is a personal favourite, and his erect nipples and the leopard skin pants or whatever, yeah.
Well, this
I just love them.
This
they're
is literally great. His time to come back again. But the only problem is that they're all trying to come back. Because even Seagal came back with Machete. So, that, you know, but Bivani coming back. You know, Stallone's always been here, man. He's always been the Rock.
He's always been around.
Throughout. But with them all literally sort of coming back, you know, do you think... I don't know if there's going to be so
Hollywood
much
ain't big enough for all of them.
Yeah, so we'll see. I think it's just going to be literally down to... who's getting the right projects with the right money behind them. And Van Damme's going to have his work cut out because he's been away from the big screen for so long.
A long time.
But hopefully that'll be to his benefit as long as he hits hard in Expendables 2. Which we will find out, folks, in mid-August. Round about mid-August.
Not long now.
I'll be there then. But thank you, Shane. I enjoyed that little conversation.
No, you're welcome. I wish I'd have seen more of the films.
There you go, folks. We'll be back. We'll see you then.
Okay, thank you.